Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and if you want to get your money's worth, stay tuned.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede 50 to Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sal.
And the NBC.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your host,
this is Doug Doyle Watson.
Inside.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Bug.
Can I
take you?
And how
do I pass?
Mace.
Me!
I'm just
Kenny
Omega.
We got the
power! Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your share. And if you can play it, it's all about pay. Who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am not Hugh Jackman, but I do have an Aussie accent. I am Mace, and with me tonight is, well, not Omega. We shall have the in memorandum portion for him later. He's gone missing, presumed dead. Well, yeah, we'll play the musical score later. And, of course, joining me tonight, live and in living color, a man who gives Charlie Sheen a run for his ranting money, Bug.
He had to play that music. Excuse me.
And, of course, the man who, despite being close to Kirk Douglas's age, is still not funny, Tim Stein.
Alright, I'm not close to Kirk Douglas's age, motherfucker. Shut your pie hole. God damn it. You guys, you make me sick. That's all there is to it. It's either you or the weather. Everybody, welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just having a quick chat with a couple of people in the chat room about a half hour or so ago. Some guy looking for a place to wrestle, lives in Ohio. Spud, do you think you could help him out?
Maybe.
Okay. He claims to... What? Go ahead.
Tell him to send an email to me. Give him my email address.
Okay, well, I gave him one email address already, but he claims to be, and I'm neither going to call him a liar or say he's being honest, but he claims to be the Stroh's cousin.
What did he say his ring name was?
Rockin' Rebel or some such. What did he say? I'm just going back here. Rock and Roll Rebel.
We can find out real quick, sir.
There you go. So, yeah. But I gave him a couple of leads and stuff like that. You know a couple of things going on in and around the Ohio area. So, Rock and Roll Rebel, if you're still in the chat room, if you're still tuned in, we're doing what we can to help you. That email address that I gave you earlier, make sure that you email that, and they'll definitely talk to you about the whole thing. That being said, let's dive into the show. Just want to let everybody know. Phone lines are open. You feel like calling in, and you got Skype, just Skype Sir Rockin' tonight. Or if you want to use your telephone, the phone number is area code 267-297-1397. And I'm sure if I got that wrong, Rock will correct me almost immediately so I can make it right. That being said, guys.
And of course, if you want to send in complaints about Spug being not funny and racist, send it to spug@wildtalkradio.com.
Whoa, Mace, what are you talking about, not funny and racist? Spud? Not funny? Spud? Racist?
Oh, no, you missed. Oh, my God, the old
pet
out of the
loop. You missed this fun.
All right, who did you piss off and how'd you do it this time?
hold on. Let me open the email.
Uh-oh.
Let me open the email.
Somebody actually emailed a complaint to you?
Him, but Alan Bojack from Larissa's WWE Radio Show.
Comes as a, oh my goodness. You sound like a racist overweight backwoods Paul Heyman lover?
Hold on. I'm going to read them both.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
This comes from Shane Cox of Des Moines, Iowa. Subject, Spug is not funny. This is the first one that came in. I listen religiously to OWW Radio. It's a wonderful show, but I'm getting a little tired of Spug's racial remarks on the show. He's trying to be funny, but he comes off as a deep-down racist. It's not funny, Spug. You sound like a racist, overweight, backwoods Paul Heyman lover. That's the first one. The second one, at 6:44 p.m., from Shane Cotts of Des Moines, Iowa. Spug continues with his racist comments. I'm done streaming this episode. Tell him to get the hell off the show.
Wow.
First of all, Shane, you missed the entire context of where those came from.
My goodness.
The whole thing was we were talking about TNA, and I was referring to something that a guy who was a regular contributor to OWW, Kevin Scott, who runs a blog, he does a lot about TNA. Well, a couple weeks ago, I just found out he was black. I had no idea he was black. And we're sitting there Tuesday night, and my brain was already a bit fried from the snowstorm that we got Monday night. And not getting a whole hell of a lot of sleep on Tuesday, and I couldn't remember his name to save my soul. And Alan, I think, figured out that I couldn't remember his name and threw it out there. And I said, yeah, Kevin, it would be easier if he had a black guy named like Jamal.
Oh, and brother.
Well, Kevin was in the chat room listening.
Yeah.
Kevin calls in. He's a stand-up comedian. Kevin's laughing. Kevin's having a good time with it. And after the show, you know, we're sitting there talking. I'm like, dude, you know, I'm just cracking jokes, right? I'm not. He's like, if it bothered me, I'd say something. He's like, I know, dude. It's all in good fun.
Oh my.
So I mean, if the guy who we're making the remarks about is okay with it, then Shane, perhaps you need to look at yourself. Maybe you're the real deep-down racist. Just saying.
Not comfortable in his own skin, in other words, you figure?
Maybe.
Well, it's a good thing he doesn't listen to WTR. I mean, if he's one of those guys that's a little sensitive to certain topics and such things that we have been known to carry on with, wait, I could just imagine the potential lawsuits.
Oh, no, just one of our USC live coverage is enough to get a suit off the planet.
Quick, throw the chicken in between them, watch them fight.
Wait a second, what? Okay. This brings up another question, gentlemen. Did you guys do something you shouldn't have last night on the live tap out to my coach during the MMA.
No, it was all par for the course.
It's nothing.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
I forget who Rampage Jackson was fighting. I think it was Lyoto Machida. I can't remember. To save my soul. But they wouldn't show Rampage Jackson from the neck down. For some reason, the camera never caught him from the neck down in the front. It was always, you know, on the back. you see his back from the neck down, but you never see a full view. And I said, you know what they're hiding, Mace? The bib, fork, knife, and spoon tied to his chest, because he's about to eat him somebody.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nowhere near as bad as what I figured you would have come up with.
No, it continues. It continues.
Oh, no.
And so I was fighting, and I'm like, Mace, look, this is a couple months ago, by the way, for you. I'm like, Mace, look at the look on his face. He looks like he's about to eat himself a baby. And so it continued to get progressively worse from there.
Okay, which one of you used the really bad Scottish accent and called the baby the other white meat?
I called the baby the other white meat.
I knew it!
But it wasn't with a really bad Scottish accent. I just called him the other white me.
Jeez. You know, I'm going to blame him.
I'm not even going to go into the thing when Rampage won, why I said he won.
Stole his chicken.
Oh.
It was bad, Tim. It was bad.
Okay, I don't know why you would bring up chicken. I mean, after all, his name's not Mark Henry.
He's black.
That's racist.
Stereotypes are fun.
Damn. Jeez. You guys, you're sick and disgusting. And everybody, you should really catch them in action whenever they do one of these live tap-outs to knockout things.
I don't know what the next one is.
During, what is it, MMA pay-per-views or just UFC?
No,
UFC or any UFC or Strikeforce pay-per-view, we're usually on bull crapping our way through it. We do give analysis every now and again, but mostly we just there to make ourselves laugh.
Damn.
Yeah, we it's during every major MMA pay-per-view, but the thing, Strikeforce, we've done WEC, but now it's part of UFC, so whatever comes up. But I tell you what, if you get a chance one time and listen to us, listen to the audio that Joe Rogan does, and then listen to me. 9 times out of 10, we're pretty much identical in the things we say. And it's usually he says it right after I do. We're pretty convinced
that's the technical analysis, not the racist joke.
Yes, the technical. He doesn't make racist jokes, but the technical analysis. What the fuck are you clapping for?
I'm just applauding you guys because I don't think anybody else is ever going to. So, you know, pat on the back and shit like that.
No, I don't need a pat on the back. All I need to know is that I'm offending people. That makes me happy.
that gives you an intellectual Woody, does it?
Oh, God, yeah. Tell me, dude, honestly, do you consider me a deep-down racist?
I happen to have known you since, what, 2004?
Right around there, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a question you need to ask me. Anyway.
I'm being serious. Because this really did bother me for a minute. It really did.
Well, no, you're not a racist, but you play one on the radio.
I'm not a deep-down racist. I make racist jokes because it makes everybody else uncomfortable, and they're funny.
Except for the ones you target, who seem to think they're hilarious. I don't get it.
But yeah, Mike thinks it's hilarious.
So, well, you know, as long as Mike thought it was funny, and he was the, pardon the use of the phrase, butt of your jokes. Okay, there you go. All is fine and dandy, but you can blame this one on Jersey Girl. This guy that was complaining in that email, what was his name, Sean Cox?
Shane Cox, yes.
Shane Cox, okay. That sounds like a wrestling name Vince Russo may have tried to saddle Orlando Jordan with.
But I'm keen.
Just saying. And like I said, blame Jersey Girl for that one because I just took what she said.
She sent me that one on Skype.
Yeah, jazzed it up the tiniest little bit. I don't know why she insists on talking to all of us on Skype. Jersey Girl, we read the chat room, hon.
Except for me.
I'm too self-important
to be in there.
Yeah, you're too self-involved. Doesn't mean you're too self-important. Anyway, Why don't we just dive right into the planned talk tonight, shall we?
Can we talk about TNA first?
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, no, you got to build it up. You got to build up the suspense. Like, people tune in. It's like episode Impact, the good stuff's right at the end when they're about to shut off the show.
No,
we've got video to go through, okay? So we're going to show everybody some video. But we're going to start off. Well, too bad. Everybody else does. We're going to start off with the return of The Undertaker, followed closely by the surprise return of Triple H. Now, let's go back a little bit when everybody was starting to speculate, ooh, could it be Sting? Ooh, could it be Sting? Ooh, could it be Sting? Pay attention to the name Sting, because we got some information about Sting going to WWE coming up really soon. You might find this somewhat interesting. And if you're a TNA, if you're a TNA mark or a fanboy, you can consider this a spoiler coming up anyway. Guys, we talked about it, and we were figuring, okay, well, we already know it's going to be Undertaker. It's not going to be Sting, anything like that. Pay attention. Watch the video on the Ustream right now. It's playing. And Undertaker shows up. There he is. You can see him. He's about ready to turn around. Everybody, you know, in the audience, they all were happy and screamed, and yay, it's Taker. And then he shows up in the arena, right on the heels of Undertaker coming out, getting into the middle of the ring, we hear the only music I know of that can make Spud spontaneously ruin his shorts.
It happened, too.
Time to play the game.
You can't do it like Lemmy does.
Well, nobody can do it like... Come on, nobody can do it like Lemmy does, right?
Time to play the game.
That's a pretty good impression, Rock.
That was a damn good impression. And Spud. Whoa. We got a complete show to go through.
Sorry.
Control yourself, okay?
Put
the Jergens down.
Sorry.
Put the Jergens down.
Sorry.
Quit looking at the ice cream.
Sorry.
All right. So. Not one word spoken by Undertaker. Not one word spoken by Triple H. How powerful was this, Mace?
Extremely powerful, which is a bit weird because usually any time Triple H is around, he likes to turn around and just start having a go. But both men seem to time everything really well. You could tell the story without having to hear a single word. It was brilliantly done.
Seriously, was it not extremely loud and vocal without any words being spoken? Just the tension in the ring between these two.
Well, you remember on the King of Kings DVD, he's talking about the setup with Batista for what was it, WrestleMania 21, 22.
Yeah,
and it was 21 because that was in L.A. and that was the Evolution. He's talking in the King of Kings DVD when he was setting it up with Batista backstage. He was adamant that for the next, you know, after the Rumble and Batista picked who he was going to go against, that up until the contract signing that they didn't touch. Absolutely adamant, and Batista didn't quite understand it, and that's not a shock because there's a lot of things that Batista doesn't understand, but you know, it's a booking ploy to make you more interested in the actual competition. Because if you go 6 weeks up until Mania without them touching, without him or Taker touching, and little to no words being spoken between the two, you get to Mania, the majority of fans are going to be clamoring to see those two tear each other apart. And let's not forget, it's been almost 10 years since the last time those two wrestled against one another in any serious kind of fashion.
Mm-hmm. So, a very, very, very powerful pair of returns
I think that, the better thing in that, though, Tim, like, they're standing there face-to-face, right? They're in the make-out position, and they just, Triple H just sort of looks at the WrestleMania sign, and then Undertaker looks at it and looks at Triple H and just kind of smirks. Like, the body language and the facial expressions said it all. No words had to be spoken.
Yep. No, exactly. I have to agree with you 100%. How many, just watching a replay on the Ustream, and of course, what we're seeing is a couple of steps behind of what's actually playing live right now. But how powerful would you consider this to be in comparison to the roof being blown off the arena when The Rock showed up?
I think The Rock showing up was different in the sense that we haven't seen Triple H in, what, 6-7 months?
Yeah.
Closer to a year. You know, we haven't seen The Rock in a WWE ring in almost 7.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different. I mean, the crowd noise was the same, but it was a different type. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. No, I understand completely what you're talking about. It was a different kind of pop. Now, when you look at it, both of you guys having been in the ring and having actually worked crowds, I'm pretty sure that you have at least a bit of an understanding about ring psychology, never mind how many times we get on certain wrestlers for, you know, not working like Sheamus injuring Triple H's knee and then working his arm.
Because that was genius.
I mean, that's like stupid genius, right?
Right.
I mean, why do you work on his arm when he's got the work on the knee? I mean, smart enough. What the, you know?
Speaking of ring psychology, real quick, I didn't get to catch Raw Monday night, so I didn't actually get to see the Triple H Undertaker thing until like Wednesday or Thursday when I YouTubed it.
Uh-huh.
Because I was out snowplowing Monday night. But I actually got to see all of Monday Night Raw last night at like 1 a.m. because they reshowed on USA.
Yeah.
And watched it. And I saw the CM Punk John Morrison match. Talk about psychology. Kudos to the both of them.
A very good match.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, 24 hours later, Morrison still fell on the knee. Still selling, and he's selling it perfectly. And Punk, I mean, you could see where that shit cut him on the thigh.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's selling the arm that was hurt and all that. And, you know, how many times have we seen an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view or a steel cage match where both guys are competing the next night on Raw and it's like nothing ever happened?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I interrupted you, Mace. I'm not looking at our Skype chat.
I haven't said shit.
So, I'm just saying, I know you got all mad last week. I'll give you a hug.
That's scary.
Yeah, I had absolutely no idea where to go with that one, Mace. I mean,
That'll give me nightmares for a month.
Yeah, I was just sitting here all of a sudden, I'm very uncomfortable.
I can't be nice.
Okay. Spug and nice. They don't go in the same sentence unless the word not is with them someplace.
Bullshit. You both know me really well. I'm probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
There you go. Well, that says very little about the rest of the world. But, going back to ring psychology, Mace, how perfect was that confrontation between Taker and Trips?
Well, as it's already been said, it was pretty much perfection. You didn't need words to sell it, and it got the message across loud and clear. Those two want to beat the living crap out of each other at WrestleMania.
Now, let me ask you, would it have ruined or been less powerful had either one or both gotten onto the mic saying, yeah, okay, you're on, yada, 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 I want you, yada, yada, yada?
Probably wouldn't have had as much impact, but then again, it would probably still have like a very big impact no matter what happened. Just getting those two in the ring was enough to sell it.
Okay.
I would agree to a point with Mace that getting those two in the ring enough was to sell it. I think that had they talked, though, it would have ruined it entirely. And I'm not even talking, like, a physical confrontation. I think having those two talk at that point would have ruined that moment entirely. If you're going on the premise that I think that they're going on, they're probably not going to talk again face-to-face until a week or two before Mania. I mean, they'll do separate things off of one another, but you're not going to see an actual face-to-face confrontation again.
Well, let me ask you, is that a good way to go? Keep them apart from each other and just let them do solo promos, Mace?
Yeah, I don't really want to see them doing solo promos because, frankly, isn't that what The Rock and Cena are doing at the moment?
Yeah, pretty much, which is, basically where I was hearing this part of the discussion too. Yeah, exactly. Now, we can pretty much be guaranteed we're not going to see The Rock wrestle between now and WrestleMania, and we most likely probably won't see him wrestling at WrestleMania. Do you put Triple H and Undertaker into matches just to get the crowd into it, or do you just let them do whatever they do?
Are you talking about with each other up until Mania, or what? I'm sorry, I guess I'm not following.
Yeah, no, not facing each other, but just squaring off in the ring against an opponent.
I think here and there, but I think individual promos you don't do, You have to have them interact somehow. Like, if you have Triple H out there cutting a promo in the ring, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, midway through, you kill the lights and you just let the fog roll in.
Or you just let the bell toll once.
No, you don't even toll the bell. No. You just let the lights in the arena go out.
And put on the flat,
and you turn on the purple light, and you just let that fog roll in for about 10-15 seconds, and then you have the lights come on real slow. Because Triple H is so synonymous with his entrance music, you know, that's the only time I could see you using the entrance music is you have Undertaker out there. And he's not really a promo guy, but from time to time he can do it. If he's out there cutting a promo or responding to something, you just have it's time to play the game. And you cross-show it, too. You don't just do it on Raw. You do it on SmackDown, too. I mean, you do it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm really geeked up because we're going to SmackDown Tuesday night in Cleveland.
Okay.
And Undertaker's on supposed to be there, and a name that was just added that is supposed to be there is my husband. So,
interesting. Well, I have to admit, knowing that you're taking your daughter Madison to SmackDown, right? She's going to see her very first live
first live wrestling show. Yes.
Okay. I have to admit, having watched Taker when he first debuted in the E, making little kids in the audience scream, cry, just with his presence, because he's so scary to the little ones. I have to admit, I'm curious to find out how your daughter reacts to his...
She loves The Undertaker.
Oh, she does?
She loves The Undertaker.
Okay, so you brought her up right then.
Well, she understands that they're acting. And
okay.
And that they're playing characters like they do in movies.
Okay.
And she gets it. And she's seen pictures of Undertaker, like I was watching WrestleMania 7? Yeah, 7, where he fought Snuka.
Okay.
Where the streak began. And she goes, "Daddy, who's that?" And I said, "That's Undertaker." She goes, "Nuh-uh." I was like, "Yeah, that's Undertaker. He was really young then." I was like, "Daddy was your age." She goes,
Nuh-uh, Daddy, you were never my age. And so I've showed her different, you know, different things, and she gets it. She's more amped up because she probably is going to get a John Cena t-shirt.
Well, that's cool. That's probably going to go down like a lead balloon on your end of things. You know, that's all right. Whatever.
No. I'm all right. I will say this now. I will preface this now. I may hate John Cena's gimmick that they've saddled him with, but as a parent of a 5-year-old who could have way worse heroes that she looks up to.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I get it. It's the same thing they did with Hulk Hogan in the 80s, and I couldn't for the life of me until I had a child understand, you know, why Hulk Hogan was as big as he was. It's because the little kids like him, but it's because the parents get behind it, because look at this, you know, he's showing up for the fans, he's doing things for the fans and the little kids, he's not turning little kids away, you know, he's being the nicest guy he can be to all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh no, absolutely.
As a parent, I get it, and, I mean, come on, she could be a fan of Lay Cool, but for Christ's sakes, I mean, there are way worse things that she could, you know, that she could latch on to. And I'm actually kind of glad she latched on to Cena, because that's perfect for her, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care. I really don't care. A lot of my animosity towards John Cena has gone away.
Oh, well, that's, I suppose, nice to know. But it's now time to actually set up the next video clip, I think. And the next video clip that we are actually going to really, really, really talk a fuck of a lot about comes out of TNA. However, before we play that, because it's a spoiler, because it doesn't happen until 3-3-11, he said, setting shit up.
Are we going to talk about John Cena going Thunganomics?
After the break. That's coming up in a second.
I just wondered, because it was great.
Yeah. Now, pay attention to the Ustream. It's already playing as I'm talking. You see how they get it all built up. Makes you remember The Rock coming out and how they started with, like, the lightning bolts and the you know, the background noise, and then all the lights go out, and then all you hear is, oh, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, right? You remember that.
Yeah, the 16-hour setup.
Yeah, pretty much, the 16-hour setup. Okay, Rock, you can kill that now, because you only need to see the rest of it. Now, remember that, and then think back to last several weeks building up the return to Undertaker. We've been seeing 2-21-11, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys ready to be spoiled for 3-3-11?
We already know who it is, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm about to show, and if you were in the chat room, Spud, you'd be able to see this, because, oh, holy shit, you want to talk about the epitome of lazy? Rock, are you ready to show that now?
I've seen it, Tim. I've seen it.
Okay.
I saw it yesterday.
All right, let's roll tape, and let's watch what's going to happen on March the 3rd. Okay, Ron, can you pause it right there really quickly? Can you just pause the video? Okay, now, what did you notice? What's the first thing you noticed, Mace?
There's three video screens.
Yeah, what's the second thing you noticed compared to the video that we just saw prior to this?
There's a crowd on the hard camera side.
You're being a smartass, and you're doing it on purpose.
Damn right.
Now, pretend you're not a smartass. Be serious for a second.
Well, fuck, then I'm not me, then.
Well, you know. Not that was pointed out because it's really obvious, but you notice that the beginning to this video is eerily similar to the beginning of the Rock returning video. Go ahead, roll tape again, and let's finish this off, Rock.
Thank you.
Okay? How lazy do you have to fucking be? Seriously. I mean, how uncreative is your creative department that not only are you taking ideas from WWE, but you are blatantly ripping off two separate things that WWE has done exceedingly well, whetted the appetite of the wrestling fan, not just the hardcore, but the casual, getting them not just tuned in, but turned on for WrestleMania 27 to do something like this, Mace?
I just want to know who took the photo of Sting for the new Titantron or the video screen. Because basically that picture of Sting makes it look like he's had something really bad chuffed up his butt. Seriously, when the first, like, the Sting logo comes in, you see that picture of Sting. Take a good look at it next time you see it, people, because it just looks like somebody caught Sting when they've just shoved something really bad up his ass.
Well, that's a pretty bad...
But as for the whole concept and everything, yeah, I can see it as, you know, it's a silly idea to go and rip them off. But at the same time, I can understand why they did it.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. The wrestling fans saw the original, you know, the 2/21/11 promos, and they thought it was Sting. This is TNA going, well, here's your promo. Here's what you wanted.
All right, Mace, you and I had this discussion last night on the pay-per-view. Tell everybody what you said about you don't understand why people crack on TNA.
I believe the conversation that I had was that TNA can deliver the exact same thing, including what people want, and they will still shit on it because it's TNA.
All right, let me ask you guys, and both of you, you can discuss and debate this if you got separate viewpoints, but go back to 1997 when both WWF back then and WCW were not just both competing but actually thriving in that competition with each other before things became a complete clusterfuck in WCW. If WWF had done what WWE did in the last 2 weeks, and then WCW went and blatantly ripped it off and copied it like that, would it have been more, first off, more acceptable, and secondly, shot on a lot less by the wrestling fan?
Go ahead, Mace. Go ahead. You open your mouth first. Go ahead.
Well, If we go back into the terms of 97, when this type of thing was first done, the first time with Sting, if anybody actually remembers that, you know, most of the time it would have been seen in the reverse of what things are seen now. You know, WCW did something, if WWE did the same thing a couple of weeks later, or, you know, WWE ripping off WCW, you know, that they have no creativity. Same thing's going on here. WWE does one thing, TNA does the same type of thing, and people start harping on TNA. And it's been the same thing I've been saying since these promos have been coming up. If TNA had done this type of build-up that they did with The Undertaker's return for Sting in TNA before WWE even had the idea of it, people would still shit on it. Because it seems to be that no matter what TNA does, they could do the same thing, they could do something different, they could provide a completely different show. Because it's TNA, and it's cool to hate on TNA, people will shit all over TNA.
Now, I will agree that it has become the norm to shit all over TNA because it's TNA. That's the part I will agree with you with. But the main difference between 97 and 2011 is that back then, it was the game of one-upsmanship. You know, back then, if they both did the same promo, so to speak, you know, the same basic premise on a promo or a vignette, one would outdo the other one by just a little bit to make theirs just a little bit better, back and forth. The thing with TNA that bothers me about this is, one, there's spoilers. They're not live, okay? Now, WWE spoiled The Undertaker return weeks ago because there was the ad that we heard
for the Raw in Fresno that said the return of The Undertaker, and there was also the, in the vignette themselves, flashes of Taker walking across the window. And people pretty much guessed who it was. The thing with TNA and the Sting entrance on 3-3-11 that really kind of irks me is that there are spoilers. They're not live. If you're going to do a return like this and subsequently what happens with his return at the end of that episode of Impact, you do it live.
They should have done this a week before a pay-per-view, is what you're saying.
Well, it's not even a week before the pay-per-view, but you do it live. You do this live. That way, what's the point of tuning in? Why am I going to watch Impact on Thursday? What is so special about 3-3-11 now, other than the fact that it's Thursday? Why would, as a casual wrestling fan who may have tuned into Impact because I wanted to see what 3-3-11 was all about there, because obviously they were trying to parody or mimic WWE or shove it in WWE's face, why am I going to watch now that I already know what's going to happen? I already know who it is. Why? That's my whole issue with it, is that why would I watch now? There's no reason to.
No, and I can agree with you with that. But at the same time, let me pose something else to you, and it's something I've posed to just about everybody else, and nobody's actually bothered to give me a fucking answer to this. I'm going to take the situation. TNA has brought in many, many old guys.
Uh-huh.
Right? They've brought in, you know, Hogan, Booker T, Kevin Nash, Sting, etc., etc. Since the beginning of this year, WWE has brought in Booker T, Kevin Nash. They brought The Rock. You know, Undertaker's back, Triple H is back. They're bringing in the older guys backing up the card.
We had this conversation on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. We've had this conversation. Yeah, you and I have had this conversation before.
I'm trying to remember it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, TNA brings back the older guys, and they're in a high quality. You know, I know Booker T's only gone into announcing, and we haven't seen Kevin Nash since. But still, they were in the Royal Rumble. They were in a high-profile match. TNA has them in there. People shit on it. WWE does it. All of a sudden, it's like Vince McMahon shitting out gold coins out of his ass, and everybody's lining up to grab some.
They were in a high-profile match, and I will give you my answer again, Mace, just so Tim can hear it, because I don't know if he heard OWW on Tuesday when you and I had this conversation. Which, by the way, this Tuesday on OWW Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, Jerry the King Lawler. Tune in. Check it out, people. He will be live on our airwaves. OWW Radio starts promptly Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern with Alan Wojcik, myself, Mason, several other contributors who show up on a week-to-week basis. We never know who's going to be there. Wow.
And we will ask your questions to Jerry live if we can get Spug to stop being a fanboy for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that interview. I really am, because I want to pick his brain so much about wrestling. I really do.
Just don't fanboy him, because he doesn't suffer fanboys gladly.
No, he doesn't. I'm not going to fanboy him, but I am going to show him a hell of a lot of respect.
There you go.
I'll give you my answer from Tuesday. The thing that differs in this situation is that WWE, when they bring an older guy in, or they bring somebody back like Undertaker or Triple H, is they're not immediately thrust into the title picture. They're not immediately thrust into the most high-profile storyline in that company going on at that current moment in time. When Booker T and Nash came back, yeah, they were put in the Rumble, but we all knew that neither one of them were going to win.
Yeah.
We all knew that neither one of them had a shot at main eventing WrestleMania, and we all knew that neither one of them was going to get a strap put on them anytime soon. It's the same thing with Triple H and with Undertaker. Those two were in a storyline all by themselves. They wrestle. I mean, with both of them having the do whatever the hell you want carte blanche card in WWE, they have the ability to wrestle 4 or 5 months out of the year. and then go away. So they have their own, you know, their own little important storyline that they do, and then they're done with it. They're not in the title picture. They're not going to be in the title picture, neither one of them. Now, you mark watch, they're going to be wrestling for titles after Mania, probably, and it'll just ruin everything I just said. But at this point, they're not really in the title picture. With TNA, the moment they bring in a Hogan, a Bischoff, anybody, they are immediately thrust to the upper echelon of the company, into the top main storyline, into the title picture. They put all kinds of crap around them, do all kinds of big important storylines, and it flops. And that's why people shit on TNA like that. And I agree to the point that people shit on TNA because it's popular to do it. But I think if you're going to shit on TNA, you should at least have a reason other than it's TNA.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now,
can I just bring up sort of a semi-counterpoint to that as well, Spug? Look at what they've done with The Rock. He came out, did his promo. Now, all of a sudden, instead of having Cena and Miz facing off against each other, building the focus on their match at Mania, they're building their focus on The Rock. You know, look at last week on Raw. You had Cena doing his, and I will admit, very well done Thuganomics promo. You had The Miz following up The Rock's comments as well. It seems that all of a sudden they're taking what should essentially be their main event match, throwing another person in, and the focus is all on that one other person.
That I will agree with you on. They're kind of handling that the wrong way.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is when The Rock came out and cut his promo, did you really expect them to let Cena be silent on it?
No. Well, but the thing is, they're now supposedly The Rock's coming back on Monday night to once again answer what Cena's done. So all of a sudden we're having this one-upsmanship game between The Rock and Cena, whereas we should be seeing that type of thing between Cena and The Miz.
I think you'll see that in the coming weeks. I really do. But the thing with Cena and The Miz is it's something we've seen before. You know, it wasn't too long ago that those two did wrestle and have a fairly good program together over, what was it, last summer into the early fall? They had a couple of months where they had a pretty good program together. So I don't think it's that hard to capture that. The thing between Rock and Cena is new, and they're trying to garner interest in Mania, because my personal opinion, is that The Rock is going to end up being more than the host of WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure he's going to end up having like an enforcer, special guest referee type role at Mania, and he's going to end up screwing Cena out of a title win, and it's going to set up Rock Cena, and Rock and Cena are going to have a match at some point.
Yeah, and if that gets set up, I hope they turn Cena heel, or else they're going to have to turn him heel by the end of it.
Well, there's a thing right there, Mace. With only 20 minutes of airtime to talk in the ring, Rock turned Cena heel without Cena doing a goddamn thing. So, does that mean that the fans are ready for Cena to turn heel, or does that mean that Rock is that charismatic?
Rock's that charismatic. He has that much of an appeal to the fans that anybody going up against him is going to turn heel. At least in the fans' eyes.
Tell you what, guys, before we go any further into this, because we got to get to our first break of the evening, why don't we get to our caller? We've got somebody calling in. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, your mic is way too loud, Nick. Turn your mic volume way the hell down.
And I will say real quick, Tim, yes, Rock is that charismatic, and I don't necessarily know that if the fans are ready for Cena to turn heel, but what I think that it goes back to everybody loved The Rock so much when he was there, and he's been absent from WWE for 7 years. It's that old adage, absence makes the heart grow fonder, that at this point in time, unless The Rock is out there raping somebody's grandmother, he's going to get pops no matter what.
I got you. Nick, did you fix your mic?
Yeah, I believe it's down a bit.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You liar.
You're way loud. Adjust that thing, boy.
Is that better?
No. Have you adjusted it now?
Speak.
Speak, Nick. Speak.
Just hold on.
There you go.
There
you
go. That's quite a bit better.
Yeah,
there you go. All right, so what's
that
up?
That automatically does it. I just bring in to answer Mace's question. And
okay.
It's a simple-ish answer. Tokenism. When somebody comes to TNA, it floods the TV. They ignore whatever's going on between Beer Money and Motor City Machine Guns, who are talented wrestlers in their own right, to obsess over who's coming in the door. Whereas WWE has substantially more product on the market, so it's more of a token thing rather than flooding the product.
Okay. I'm really not
work. That one, guys. What?
I'm really not following him there, man. I'm not.
Okay. When you have a new star arrive in TNA, they'll spend half an hour obsessing over it. Whereas
right.
When WWE obsess over this, over a star coming in for half an hour, it's TNA gets 2 hours a week. We get 10 hours a week of WWE.
Okay.
So there's less saturation.
So there's less saturation on with TNA than there is with WWE. Now you're saying that the lack of exposure is detrimental for TNA?
No, I'm saying, yeah, to be honest, if TNA had 4 hours a week and a star came in and less, it would be better.
I get what he's saying, dude. I kind of understand what you're saying. The thing, though, with TNA, it's not that they spend a half hour obsessing over the entrance. It's that they put it way, 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 way over the top. They do it to a point where it's no longer, you know, interesting. Because, one, they're not live. They're not live. For the last time I can remember them being live when a star came in was Hogan and Bischoff. And it's rather pathetic that they're going to spend that much time of their television program or television taping obsessing over the arrival of whatever individual it might be when six or more days before the fans already know. You're spending all that time garnering interest when they already know. So there's no point. That's what's killing it.
I will agree with you, Spug. That was definitely a fuck-up on TNA's end. But TNA have done it right in the past. I actually recall one Tim Steine marking out a bit when Kurt Angle arrived, and it was just this complete shock.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're going back to when was that, 2006?
Oh, fucked if I remember.
Something like that. And he showed up at the end of the pay-per-view, and we were at Bottoms Up Sports Pub, and it was all loud and everything else like that. We were trying to hype up TNA and stuff like that. And I did the Shivani into the mic. Kurt Angle and TNA! Kurt Angle and TNA! Oh, my God! So, yeah, I was selling it.
That's the thing, though. What three letters did you just use, Tim?
TNA.
No. Before that. PTV, pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which means that it was live.
Yeah.
It means it was live.
Now,
that's why it was surprising, because nobody really knew beforehand. And if they did, it was only a few hours. It wasn't days or a week.
you know, there were still spoilers on the internet, but it wasn't anything like the Sting video. It was your standard, you know, here's the spoilers, here's what we found out was most likely going to happen on Raw tomorrow night. But we can't prove it because we don't have a tape to watch. However, no, I see what, you know, yeah, it just comes across as more impactful when it's live and boom, like the crowd in the Impact Zone who were actually there during the tapings, you know, they're all like, boom! And the entire viewing audience could have been like that had it not been taped and made ready for spoiling. Which is one of the main reasons why I hate taped wrestling shows. But anyway, that being said, we are long past time for our first break. Nick, you got anything else real quick before we bugger off?
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Law Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right on the other side of the break. We're going to get even more involved in Cena's rap comeback on the Rock.
On your knees, dog. Oh, hail. Bow down to the, bow down to the king. Bow down to the, bow down to the king.
Here in red, as he walks from the place, where the traitor lost both his name and his face. Through the halls and the corridors, sinking in.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. It's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you to sit up if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He'd stay with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Wild Talk Radio. Always imitated. No, that's about it. Always imitated.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome. So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to be
out of
time? I don't want
to be out of time. I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere? Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you can tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. So I was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with him. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, wrestling fans, this is Rich the Model Marshall. Yes, of course, the one and only the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, a network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance is not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in the deep.
And welcome back, WTI. Sunday night. Hey, basic thugonomics. We touched on it before the break, and now we are going to delve right into it. For one night only, may Thugonomics return to the WWE on Monday Night Raw when Cena responded to The Rock calling him out.
Hey, it's something that we've been hoping you do for a while, go back to a gimmick that actually made him popular.
Uh-huh.
And, hell, it shows the dude still got some good writing cred when he makes up his own stuff.
Still got some skills there, don't you think, Spug? As we wait for him to adjust his mic and get it into position.
No, I went to go serve some... I was cleaning up my desk, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. So did you did hear the question, huh?
I did not hear the question. I apologize.
Got some mad skills still, Cena does.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Okay. Are you disappointed that it was a one-night-only return?
No, because I think that was the test of waters.
Okay. What about you, mate? One night only return, testing waters, what?
I'm hoping it's testing the waters, because that was a one night return. Well, then he's got nothing else to come back with after Monday night.
Huh. quite interesting. But his response to The Rock calling him out, how do you think he did? How was it?
I think a couple of parts. The one where he said something about holding his balls or some shit.
Yeah.
I think that was a little iffy, not because of the holding my balls or whatever, but I think that it didn't fit. It didn't work. But the rest of it was very well done.
Yeah.
The other thing that shocked me was that you could tell that was a promo that wasn't written for him.
No, that was him doing his basic thugonomics. That was
him 100%. And it proves one thing. Cena still has mic skills, y'all.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I didn't miss was that chain that he used to come out with back when, you know, he was doing the full-out heel Thugonomics.
Yeah, I did kind of miss the chain. But like I said, I think it's a testing the waters. It's to see they're testing to see if he could do that again. And I honestly think he would be able to do that again as a babyface.
Okay. Well, you know, there you go. You bring it up, babyface. Mace, you and I started talking about this. The Rock turned Cena heel with one promo, 10 minutes of talk time without Cena even being there to do something heelish. Do you think the fans are ready to accept a heel John Cena at this point after his program at WrestleMania with The Miz?
There's a good section of fans that will be ready for a heel John Cena, but there'll be the other side, mostly made up of young girls and little kids, who will be like, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
So it's a 50-50 split at this point.
Well, the question is, would the ones who accept the heel turn outnumber the women and children?
No. No. Because I think it's like Hogan in the 80s and early 90s. At this point, he's so ingrained as being a baby face that you get one shot at turning him heel.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that you could do it again with John Cena. He's not like Stone Cold or Triple H in that he could stay around and flop back and forth. Like Stone Cold was always kind of the anti-hero, so you could from time to time make him a heel, make him a babyface. And Triple H started as a heel. He spent the majority of his career as a heel. It's only, you know, in extended flashes that he's played a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
With Hogan and John Cena, the majority of their career and time in the limelight was spent as a babyface. Moreover, one of the more dominant babyfaces pushed in WWE/WWF programming. And so, if you're gonna turn John Cena heel, you've got one shot at it. You know, because you can't do it again.
Okay.
It's not gonna work a second time.
Okay, so saying that it's not going to work second time. Mace, when Hogan turned heel and joined the NWO as the mysterious third member, it worked. It was off the charts. It was off the hook. Why?
Well, because it was... Well, pretty much most recent history shows Hogan as a face with the big following that was basically... one that can not really be rivaled, you know, give the immortal Bob some credit. Sure, he did do a heel run early on in his career, but for 9/10 of his WWF, WCW career, he was, you know, a face until 1996 rolled around. I think that was just a shock value. It was something you could never see happen. People know Cena has gone heel before and have seen it. I'm starting to think maybe it's getting to the point where people have forgotten how well Cena works for the heel. But like Spock said, you're going to have one shot, and you got to do it right, or else it's going to fucking blow up in your faces.
So having him enter a program with The Rock after WrestleMania, turning him heel then, that you don't see success in that?
That would be one of the only ways you'd be able to do it correctly.
Okay.
I think that there is success in it, Tim,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that WWE has to be extremely careful about, and this is where they could possibly blow it, is that if you push it too hard, too fast, as far as Cena being a heel, you're going to end up with this whole angle, one, blowing up in your face, but two, you're going to ruin a character that you've spent this much time making the face of your company, building into everything that he is, and it's gonna be wasted money. It's gonna be a wasted investment. Because you could never do anything again with him. You can't turn him back to being a baby face. You know?
Oh.
It'll be like, the perfect example, the Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels Hulk Hogan SummerSlam match?
Yeah, where Shawn Michaels basically ridiculed the entire match during the match by overselling absolutely everything.
Yeah, but the,
that was awesome.
The fallout before afterward.
Yeah.
You know, where everybody shat all over Hogan and Michaels for that match.
Yep.
You'll have it 10 times worse, but it'll all be on John Cena. The Rock will get none of it.
And is that just because The Rock is who he is, or what?
I think that's part of it, yeah.
Okay, well, with The Rock's return, the one thing that I want to bring up that Mace will probably be in my corner over, and I haven't heard anything from anybody. Rock, as a matter of fact, our producer and I, have talked about this once or twice, and I just find it kind of interesting and funny as hell. The Rock leaves, goes Hollywood to make his movies. He's done with WWE and wrestling, and he's leaving the wrestling fans behind and all this other wonderful stuff. How many times did we hear the chant, "You sold out"? How many times have we read people on comment boards, on Facebook, on message boards, everywhere, bitching, crying, and complaining that Rock basically turned his back on wrestling fans? Countless times, right?
Yep.
All right. Now he's back, and you got these same people freaking out all over the place. Oh, Rocky's back. It's awesome. Ah, you know, and they're all marking out again. After dissing the shit out of him, he comes back and they mark out. What's up with that?
Go ahead, Mace. I'll go after you.
I believe I've said this many, many times over. A lot of wrestling fans who call themselves, you know, smart marks or your hardcore wrestling fans, they're a bunch of fucking hypocrites.
Yeah.
They'll say something, you know, somebody leaves and it's, oh, fuck them, you know, they don't care about the business. They suddenly rock up. All of a sudden, they're the ones, you know, standing in line getting ready to go down on their knees like Michael Cole in front of The Miz.
Nice analogy.
You know, it takes a lot more guts to turn around at times like that to go, you know what, I don't fucking believe it, prove it. Sort of reminds me of some column that was up on the WildTalkRadio.com website recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would that be from, like, the mind of a guy named Mace?
Yeah, quite possibly.
I recommend that if anybody listening hasn't read that piece yet, but you got to dig into it. After the show, read it, because it's a very, very in-depth look at the return of Rocky, as it were. And, by the way, that was very well written, very concise, very well thought out, Mace.
Since we're not, my column's well thought out. People should have been reading these things before, damn it.
Well,
I've been also producing more of them, but, you know, I'm just fucking lazy and I play well.
I'm glad that you pointed that out. It saved me having to do so. But, yeah, where was I going with this before I got
started? You were going to Spug.
Okay, Spug, you go.
Rephrase, can you repeat the question again, please? I'm sorry.
The hypocrisy of the fans calling Rock out for leaving for Hollywood and then cheering just because he showed back up for, you know, a one-night thing to announce he's going to guest host WrestleMania.
I kind of liken it to the girlfriend that, you know, you had that great relationship with in high school or afterward.
Uh-huh.
And then she left you for the better-looking guy down the street.
Or your rival on the sports team.
Whatever. But,
yeah.
You know, then the next thing you know, she's hanging out with you again because things really aren't working out over there.
Uh-huh.
And then the next thing you know, they're gone all of a sudden again.
Yeah.
The thing with The Rock that really kind of irks me is that he says he's not leaving again. He says he's going to be around. I'm with Mace. while it was great to see him, it was great that he was there. I marked out like a 12-year-old. I remembered all those fun times that I had flipping back and forth between Raw and Monday Night Nitro and watching SmackDown and all of that. I loved every minute of it and every minute of that promo. But I want proof that he's going to stick around. I want proof that he's going to be there and it's not just lip service. And I went back and rewatched that promo again. And after watching it, Mace is right. That's not The Rock. That's not The Rock that we all knew and loved. That's not The Rock who stood there on a Monday Night Raw wearing the world title belt after Survivor Series, talking about, I remember the chance. I remember the die, Rocky, dies. I remember the you suck, Rock. I remember all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we saw that transformation, it was him playing a role. And if the passion for the business was there, you could see it. But it wasn't the same passion that he had 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. It wasn't the same guy.
Okay. So it was Dwayne Johnson playing a role. It wasn't Rocky having returned.
No.
Yeah, I can see that. I can't really find any way to argue that or disagree with it at all whatsoever. Rock comes back. I popped a little bit. I was happy he came back. But at the same time, the first thing that hit my head is, why are you back? Is it because your opening weekend for your latest film in Australia grossed $800,000, Mace?
Oh, actually, when I watched it, I just thought back to, surprise, surprise, Rest Talk Radio, the very Sunday night before, where we brought up The Rock posting a message on his Facebook, which was basically, you know, as much as I love the wrestling fans, I'm not coming back, so please stop asking me about it.
Yeah.
So why should I sit there on Monday night, not even 24 hours later, where he's going, I love you guys, I'm back, and, you know, which is what we're supposed to believe, you know? On one hand, he's saying, please leave me alone, I'm an actor now. Next, he's going, WWE fans, I love you, I love you. By the way, go see my movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to give WWE props for having figured out how to swerve the internet-type Mark, who's quote-unquote smart to all the stuff going on, and they're up on the spoilers and the whole bit. And you can look at that as just continuing the surprises by saying one thing and doing another. I mean, like, look back, what's his name? Gets fired. Bryan Danielson. Daniel Bryan. Gets fired for choking out what's his name with his tie. I mean, come on, please. And of course, they play it off on WWE programming by saying that Wade Barrett fired him because he felt remorse. Yeah, whatever. And here we spent 2 weeks of WTR talking about, okay, did he get fired? Is this a work? Did he get fired? Is this a work? We finally decided it was a work. And sure enough, the surprise return when Cena and the gang took on the Nexus happened to be Bryan Danielson. Well, okay, Daniel Bryan. I have a hard time calling him Daniel Bryan, guys. I really do.
It's Bryan Danielson, goddammit. Dan Drag.
There you go.
Mind you, I'm going to bring up a point that Tony O and Wrestling Fanatic seems to be arguing about in the chat room.
Yeah.
And I'm citing Wrestling Fanatic on this one. It's going back and forth that The Rock's name will sell WrestleMania. I don't believe it. You know, WrestleMania is, as Wrestling Fanatic said, it's like Super Bowl. It's their top draw. It will always bring the dollars in. And to be honest, I'm actually going to say it now, the WrestleMania buy rate is going to be lower than it has been in previous years. This downward trend with pay-per-views is going to continue, and it's going to hit WrestleMania.
Okay, so why is this year's WrestleMania going to have a lower buy rate than recent previous WrestleManias?
I believe it would probably have something to do with our good friend David Lagana and his opinion of, you don't buy it, you don't have an opinion.
I would agree.
And you're not allowed ice cream anymore, by the way.
I would agree. The thing that I think is going to hurt WrestleMania 1 is the streaming, and that we are becoming an ever more online society.
Yeah.
And the thing is that to stream the pay-per-view online, it's the same as it costs just as much as if you were to buy it from your cable provider.
Yeah.
I think that they should reduce the cost of being able to, you know, to get it online. The other thing that I think hurts WrestleMania is that, yeah, the economy was bad last year, but I think people were still using nest eggs and savings accounts to get by. And now in the United States and the world over, especially in the United States, the unemployment rate's hovering right around 9 to 11% on average.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people have gone and maxed out credit cards or gone through their savings accounts and gone through their nest egg. So now that the financial disparity is starting to hit. Granted, the economy is beginning to rebound, it's beginning to come out of that, but it's going to be a while before people have excess money to throw around.
That's an interesting theory.
What's it costing you guys for WrestleMania these days?
Oh, it's $50 US or something like that.
55. They dropped the price. It was at 60 last year. It's down to 55 this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be cheaper. It's going to be a lot cheaper in Canada because our dollar is that much higher than the American buck.
By like 10 cents.
I'm looking at the Australian pay per view website, and they've currently got it listed for $35. So I'm sort of thinking, pull out the money.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean,
it's worth. You know, if there's one pay per view a year that you buy, it should be WrestleMania. I think if there's one pay-per-view worth investing in every year, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's probably...
Actually tell the parents, you know, don't bother getting it for the lounge room. I'm going to get it down here in my bedroom because I got the bigger television. I got the big 50-inch motherfucker.
There you go. That's all that matters. Yeah, get it on the big...
Come on!
As it were.
In high def, man. Professional wrestling. High def. Get it in 3D.
That would be scary, but mind you, the Divas matches would be so much better.
Okay, do not go there because we do not need another fight.
Speaking of Divas real quick.
Here we go.
No. Speaking of Divas real quick.
What?
The wife and I were talking about this the other night. Could you ever imagine a day when you would rather your children watch WWE women's wrestling over TNA women's wrestling?
You know, you've got an interesting point with that one. I have to admit it. I mean, you know, for years we've been subject to the Attitude Era.
Right. I mean, you had Sable coming out there with the latex on her nipples. You know, they were always. It was essentially one step away from softcore porn. And granted, the wrestling for WWE's women's is mostly subpar with a lot of their women's wrestlers, but they're wearing clothing. You know, at least they're wearing something. In TNA, yeah, the wrestling is good, but it is like watching softcore porn. Are you going to want to let your kid watch that? I'm not.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that, especially after seeing ODB coming back this past week on Impact.
Yeah. Well, I can remember several years ago Hulk Hogan talking about watching WWE programming, and when his kids would get up or come walking into the room, he'd scramble to change the channel on the remote so they didn't see what was going on, especially with the Divas.
Right. And I think it's...
Remember that.
It's just, it's sad that it's gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I missed WEB on Thursday.
To each their own. Mind you, Taz's comments during OEB's comeback were hilarious.
Yeah, okay, that's worth watching it for people like ODB and Taz's comments. So if you can,
my God, they've gotten bigger. Looks like he's smuggling midgets.
There you go. If you compare to only watch a little bit of TNA, that's probably the segment you want to watch. Why is you're over 13? Which brings us into our WTR roundtable discussion, guys. Do you think the WWE is doing the right thing by walking the line with the PG rating, bringing back a little bit more of the Attitude Era?
Well, they might be walking the line, but I tell you what, they're still very much walking behind the PG side of the line.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting to the point where, well, it's sort of weird. It's like if you're walking down a highway and you've got the line down the middle of the road to separate the lanes, the WWE are still staying far away from that dividing line. Like, okay, yeah, they let The Rock say ass a few times and Cena said it again on Raw this past week.
Well, yeah, but they bleeped out The Rock saying ass, which means you gotta bleep every two sentences.
Once. They did it the first time, and then every time after that, they just left it running, depending on where you were. Because there were some, I know the Australian version was heavily censored, so was a UK one as well, I think, and a couple of the US ones were uncensored completely.
Well, here's the thing about that, before you continue, here's the thing about that. Parts of the American market were heavily censored, parts weren't. It's the USA Network, it's all the same network, but I guess like in the southern states, it was more censored than it was in New York, and it was more censored in the Midwest than it was down in California. Stuff like that. Here in Canada, we get the USA feed, but I do not know which USA market we get the feed. All of the beeps were happening. We got every word ass was beeped, or at least they attempted to. We weren't very quick on a lot of them. And so the word after ass got beeped, or before ass, that got beeped. But they tried. They really tried. Funny thing about it is, on the score, which is where you'll find Raw in Canada, they actually, when they went to break and did the sports scores update, the girl on the till said, "Now back to Raw, and by the way, the bleeping of the words is not coming from us. The censorship is straight out of the United States."
Yeah, it's very, very weird. But, you know, so far, okay, what have they changed so far to make it Attitude Era? And I'm using finger quotes here, people. They've let one word go uncensored.
They've
okay,
let one.
If there's one thing that has changed so much in our society, is that some of the curse words that we used to see, you know, back in the 80s that would have been censored to hell, seem to be very more commonplace.
Yeah.
You know, well, we've become more tolerant of those type of words.
Yeah.
It comes down now, how far are they willing to push it? Are they willing to push, like, how the people act rather than what they're speaking?
Uh-huh.
Because that was a big thing in the Attitude Era was, you know, things like the DX skits back then, you know. Triple H walking around with a stick of salami with, you know, white powder on the end and laughing about it. That was parts of the Attitude Era. That stuff you still won't see on TV nowadays.
Well, it's too bad Omega's not here because he'd pop for this. But go back to George Carlin and his Class Clown comedy album, the 7 words you can't say on television. You remember what they are?
I don't remember them, but I only know if I remember the last time he did them, which was on the Actors Studio. It was the last time I was able to hear it. Only two of them got beat by today's standards.
Yeah, only two of them were beeped, and that would be Cocksucker and Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back then, the 7 words you can't say on television were shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Now, nowadays,
it was cunt and fuck that was censored these days.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm watching TV nowadays, and you hear the word tits on Spike TV. First time I heard that, wow. You know what I'm saying? I was surprised Spike TV let the word tits go. And then all of a sudden you hear the word ass. Canadian TV, you hear the actors using the word shit all the time, and nothing. And it's in prime time. No big deal, right? So is it a case of, okay, we're getting a little edgy because we're letting them use the word ass or something like that? Or is that really a non-factor anymore in the majority of the American market?
I think it's more of them going, look at us, we're edgy in today's society by letting a word go through.
Okay,
it's like a two-year-old jumping up and down going, look at me, Daddy, look at me.
But at the same time, go back to the 70s, look at a show like All in the Family. No way in hell would that show get past the censors today to be aired on TV in this society. And there was no nudity. There was no talk about body parts or anything like that. It was basically a satirical social commentary about a guy who was a bigot but didn't realize he was a bigot. Nowadays, you can swear on the air, but don't look at a black guy and say something even remotely racist, even though it happens in real life.
Don't call the black guy Jamal.
There you go. Yeah, don't call the black guy Jamal. Especially if his name is Kevin Spug.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. And, of course, don't ever tell Vince Russo that there's a guy out there whose name is Sean Cox, because next thing you know, Shane Cox, because next thing you know, we won't have Orlando Jordan anymore. Question is, should WWE basically consider maybe going PG-13 as opposed to PG?
To me, it's not much different. Well, for me, it's not, because our PG down here is something completely different.
Yeah, well,
compared
you know,
to what the American is. So.
Yeah. But Canada's in the same in the same boat as you. American society, at least by what you see on TV, is a little more puritanical than here in Canada, and definitely down in Australia and over in the United Kingdom. I mean, in Japan, you got beer commercials where the girls are topless in primetime TV. What's wrong with that? I'm all for it, Mace.
Naked chicks selling beer? Where?
Yeah, on Japanese TV in primetime.
I'm going to Japan!
There you go. See, here's the thing, right? People are always saying, you know, if you show something and the kids see it, they're going to get inured to it and it's not going to bother them so much, and that's why, we don't want to watch violence because then the violence doesn't affect them. Well, maybe it's a good thing that things don't affect you so much sometimes. So show some titties on TV, and people won't feel it so taboo. What do you think?
Not so much, but in the same vein, you know, with the whole, you know, getting desensitized to that type of stuff, it's not exactly true. You know, here it is, I'm a child of the 80s. You know, growing up, our horror flicks were, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween. We got some real good slasher flicks back in our days.
Yeah.
Today, I'll turn off something like Saw because I feel it is too gory.
Yeah. Well,
Then again, I live in a country that's just banned Mortal Kombat, so...
Yeah, well, what can you expect? No, I tune out Saw because it's a boring fucking movie. That being said, hey, everybody, we're going to take our second time out of the night. We're going to come back, wrap this bad man a jam up. Don't go anywhere to listen to WTR Sunday night. Rough Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
WTR, tonight, Rough Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I, just before we jump into our next segment, just want to mention something that happened, I guess, at a Florida wrestling promotion this past Friday night. An indie event happening, and original WWE diva Sunny Tammy Sitch was in attendance there, and apparently, guys, she got drunk during the show, and at the beginning it wasn't noticeable, but it got worse and worse and worse. This tidbit sent in by a WTR listener who attended the event.
Good for them. People are allowed to drink. Stop picking on them. Let's move on.
There you go. All right. So right now, guys, are you ready for this? It's the Academy Awards, and if I saw correctly, the King's Speech just won for Best Movie.
Yeah, that was right.
Really? It wasn't The Social Network?
No, it wasn't The Social Network. It was The King's Speech.
Social Network didn't win, which pissed off Tony O, because he saw The Social Network, and he didn't see The King's Speech. So, because he didn't see The King's Speech, fucking genius that Tony O is, no offense, Tony, you fucking genius, he figured that The Social Network should have won, because he did see that one.
Tim, did you see The King's Speech?
No.
Did you see The Social Network?
No.
Did you at least see any of the nominated films?
Probably not.
Then you have no opinion. Move on.
Well, you know, I do have an opinion.
Did you pay to not see any of these films?
There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. I had a small laugh with Dave Lagama this morning.
Hey, I bet you did. Yeah, guys, if you want to know why...
I told him, you know, if people don't pay for their ice cream, should their opinions matter? And he's gone, no, because they probably steal that, so fuck them.
Well, yeah, but at least he did put up a twit pic to WTR showing that, see, he got the ice cream, so he's allowed to have an opinion.
Yes, that was quite amusing. He was craving ice cream before the interview on OWW Radio, and then afterwards he went out and got some.
Yeah, if you guys are wondering what we're talking about and you missed it, it's in the archives. Last week's edition of OWW Radio had Dave Gallon. And it was an entertaining discussion. You should tune in and listen. And, of course, if you don't listen, then you're not entitled to have an opinion. I really think that stance is bullshit, but whatever.
And it's this Tuesday. Talk about who we have before we go to the next thing.
Well, thanks for like just walking right all over me and assuming I wasn't going to say a fucking thing.
You weren't.
I were.
You weren't.
I were.
You were not.
Fine.
Children, shut the fuck up.
There you go. I was and still gonna, so shut the fuck up. This Tuesday night, 9:00 Eastern, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents OWW Radio welcoming Jerry the King Lawler. So make sure that you, come listen to the show. Say hey to the king. Post your questions for him in the chat room. They will be, provided they're not dumbass questions like, you know, shit my ex-wife thinks up. They will be posed to Jerry the King. That's this Tuesday night, OWW Radio, 9:00 Eastern, right here, Wild Talk Radio Network. Are you happy now, Mr. Producer Boy?
Yes, very happy. Now move on.
Why don't we just do our very own Academy Awards? The WTR Oscars, all right? Now, so, okay, you guys, your nominations for the all-time. Now, these are the, you know, for all-time in professional wrestling. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Your nomination for Best Actor, Spud.
In professional wrestling?
Yep.
Do you just want one, or do I have to give, like, multiples?
One.
One?
Yes.
Best actor? Ah, God, it's toss up. Fuck. Give me a second. Move on to somebody.
Okay. Mace.
I'm going to go with Roddy Piper in They Live. Bad movie, but so bad it's good.
Can I pick David Arquette in Eight-Legged Freaks? Because technically he was a world champion.
No.
Ah, fuck. The Giant Spiders were awesome. They weren't frogs, but, you know.
I would say Stone Cold. No, we're not talking, like, you know, wrestlers who became actors, and we're talking, you know, nominating for their movie. We're talking, like, actual wrestlers.
Yes, actual wrestlers. The best actor in a wrestling.
So you can't pick Mickey Rourke in a wrestler, but...
I was a bit confused. Ric Flair. 100% Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, best actor.
Yes. Ric Flair.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm trying to think of who I would pick.
I'm sticking with Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper. Ric Flair. Shit. I'm drawing a complete blank. I can't think of anybody to pick.
Then you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry the fuck up. You're slowing the show down.
As Tim thinks, well, I'll pitch it as what Tim thinks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bug, the best actress in pro wrestling all time.
Sensational Sherry.
Oh, I got my answer.
Okay,
best actor, Archie the Stomper Goldie.
Who?
Archie the Stomper Goldie.
Is he Canadian?
No, this before your time, Spud. This is when territories were still around, and he was NWA champion.
It may have been before my time, but you know me. I'll go back and research it. I'm not asking to be a smartass. I'm asking because I honestly don't know who it is.
Well, yeah, he did do a lot of work in Stampede Wrestling. And that's how I, you know who he is. But I dug into his background, and yeah, he wrestled for AWA, NWA, all of the territories. I think the only one he didn't wrestle for was New York, which was, you know, Vince Senior.
But anyway, we're on actress,
yeah.
Spug took Sherry. I'm gonna go with Sunny, seeing as Spug stole my answer.
Okay, well, I'll seeing as Omega's not here, somebody still needs to fill in. I'll say Lita. My nomination for best actress, walking around like she's disease free.
But I'm
there. You go. Okay, best supporting actor. Mace?
Christian.
Oh, you bastard.
So close to the spotlight all the time.
Always a bridesmaid. Oh, but you're a bastard, Mace. Spud.
I'm going to go with a manager on this role, and I would have to say Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan, best supporting actor? Okay. Well, even though you said Christian, Mace, I'm going to say Christian, too, because, yeah, he's so close to getting to the dance, but standing as a wallflower. And I don't think we're not allowed to pick the same people.
You could.
Judge?
You can.
Yeah, Judge just said. So, yeah, Christian. So, Tony, I'm glad that you heard of Archie Goldie. Tell me if I was wrong about him being one of the best actors. There you go. All right. So we're at the best supporting actress now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the same.
Best supporting actress. You know what? I'm going to reverse this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Fabulous Moolah gets my best actress.
Okay.
Sherry gets my best support.
Supporting. All right. Mace.
Gail Kim, because she's held up an entire Divas division for most of the last year and a bit.
Okay. Best supporting actress? Miss Elizabeth.
Good. Thank God you said that, because that was what I was thinking.
I would agree.
I like Tony O's best supporting actress, Alex Riley.
Yeah.
Okay, props to Tony.
I would kind of agree with Elizabeth, but I don't think that she is on the level that Sherry Martel was at, because Sherry Martel not only wrestled and was the WWF Women's Champion and a very good women's wrestler, but she was also a manager. You know, she did both. That's why I put Martel ahead of Elizabeth.
Okay, that's all fine and dandy, I guess. You're entitled to your opinion. And here it is, best movie, which would be your favorite event?
Of all time.
Of all time. Which means you can't be generic and say WrestleMania.
In Your House, Rock Bottom.
No.
SummerSlam 96, the Boiler Room Brawl.
Boiler Room Brawl.
Because I was there live for it.
In the boiler room.
No, I was at the Gund Arena. I got to see it live.
live on the Jumbotron.
You know, I guess it's kind of a personal why I'm picking it.
Well, that's the point. It's your personal pick.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing that, being there for that, seeing Undertaker and Paul Bearer, I've never seen so many kids want to rip an adult apart. I mean, you're talking kids, I mean, who just were hook, line, and sinker, you know, a bit into the angle.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
Now, I'm going to get the number wrong. I'm quite sure of it. WrestleMania 2, the one that was so big that they had to put in three separate arenas.
It was WrestleMania 2.
That was, yeah, it was in WrestleMania 2, and they had three. It was Vince's idea to do something nobody else has ever done and run three simultaneous shows in three different venues and have all three of them on closed-circuit TV, and the fans at each arena get to watch what's going on the Jumbotron.
Now, forgive me if I've already asked you this. I think Mace might know the answer, so if you do, Mace, hush. But what do you remember the other thing that made the WrestleMania 2 special other than it was held on three separate cities? That's never been done done after WrestleMania 2?
Tim would know this if he listened to OW Radio.
I didn't listen to OWW Radio last week because I was a little bit
busy. It was a couple weeks ago we brought this up.
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
Oh, shit. You know, I probably would know if I knew what you were trying to allude to. I probably know what it is.
It's, no, it's just a random trivia question as to what else made WrestleMania 2 special.
Okay, I don't know what.
The fact that it was held on a Monday.
Ah. Okay.
Just, it was just something interesting that's never been done since.
Okay. Did Mace, did you pick your favorite event yet?
I did, WrestleMania 2.
That's how it tied into this trivia question.
That's how it tied into the trivia question, because you said WrestleMania 2 and it brought it up. Yeah. See? I segued properly. Fuck you.
You segued nicely. That's what threw me off. I mean, holy fuck. All right. Don't accuse me of being a mark out for these guys when I say this, Bug. But
WrestleMania 10, Owen versus Brett.
Owen versus Brett, Owen beating Brett, and then Brett going on to win the title.
It was a great match. I'm not going to call you. It was a great match.
Yeah.
Now, if you had said every event that Owen and Brett had been in, then I would just call you a dumb heart mark. But
well, no, I could point out very easily, without thinking hard, point out a dozen different matches that were fucking dogs, so forget it.
I mean, there that was a really... The Owen Brett match that I liked the best was the cage match. That was so good.
Back when they had the blue bars in the cage that looked real and real painful.
The funny thing is that blue steel cage was actually brought in at WrestleMania 2 because of King Kong Bundy.
Oh.
They had to have a cage built that would hold the weight of King Kong Bundy.
Ah.
It was double reinforced.
Interesting. Well, there it is. I guess that would be the WTR Oscars. Yay.
Such a nerd.
Yes, you are. But you're a wrestling nerd, so that makes it all right, I guess. I don't know. I think right now, everybody, it's time for an abbreviated version of Quick Hit.
Abbreviated.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
There you go. Yeah, I said abbreviated because Omega's not here, and of course, naturally, Omega usually gets the best questions. But we'll start off with you. Your first question tonight, Spud. What's your favorite thing about going to a live wrestling show?
My favorite thing about going to a live event, and it's also like one of the worst things, is the fact that you can't hear the commentator. And you can get a really good feel for how the crowd is reacting to things. Because on TV, we've known for a long time that they pump noise in.
Yeah.
You know, they'll dub in over the feed, boos or cheers or whatever. And in the arena, when you're sitting there watching it happen live, you can get a better feel for the electricity in the venue, how the crowd's reacting, all of that.
All right. So, no commentators at a live event, your favorite thing. Mace, what's your favorite Jim Mitchell moment?
Who the fuck's Jim Mitchell?
Sinister Minister.
James Mitchell.
See, that I would have understood.
Yeah, James
Mitchell.
Okay, James Mitchell moment.
Jeez. Unfortunately, I can't say it's his love of karaoke, because I've never seen any video surface of that actually happening, just got hearsay. There was one, it's an ECW pay-per-view from 2000, I think it was Guilty as Charged. He did an opening promo comparing the seven deadly sins to matches that were taking place on the pay-per-view. Very well written, very well performed.
Okay, great answer.
Tim Stein. What? Tim Stein, this is your question.
What?
This ties around to the latest WWE film. If you could chaperone a WWE superstar for one day, who would it be and why?
If I could chaperone?
Yes.
One? Just one?
Just one. If you could be a chaperone for one superstar for a day, who would it be and why?
Yeah, Layla L.
And why is that?
Because I would have to study that accent of hers to see if I could copy it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Spud, what is the one piece of wrestling memorabilia you wish you owned? The one piece of wrestling memorabilia I wish I owned comes from a... event that I actually wrestled at, in which Piper was on the card.
Okay.
And he left one of his Hot Rod t-shirts in the back room when he left. And it was the one he wore to the ring. And the promoter didn't know if somebody had bought it or if it was Piper's. And I knew who it was, but I didn't say anything. And the promoter picked it up to hang on to it in case somebody came forward later. And I wish when I noticed it, I would have snatched it. You know, because it was honestly something that Piper wore and just kind of cool to have.
Man, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
All right, Mace. What has Ring of Honor's biggest contribution to pro wrestling been in the last 9 years?
Ring of Honor's biggest contribution in the past 9 years?
Yep.
Quite easy. It's talent. It's where you first heard of guys like Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, Brian Danielson. You know, it's got CM Punk, to a lesser extent, Colt Cabana. But you know, it was these guys who were really talented and different and actually knew how to wrestle properly and use ring psychology. These guys, you know, despite their age, are the future of professional wrestling. And where'd you first hear about them? Ring of Honor.
There you go. All right. Hey, fantastic answer.
And, all right. And, okay, Rock. Okay, go ahead.
I'll just give it to you like this. What cartoon character, in your opinion, best represents Alan Mudyk?
Oh, Droopy Dog.
What's that?
Damn you, Tim. I just got into your head again, didn't I, mate?
Yeah, now get the fuck out.
Well, wait a second. Before I do, do you think that I decided on Droopy Dog for the same reason you thought of Droopy Dog?
Because he likes to show no emotion.
Wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. I would have said Eeyore. Eeyore? Oh, Alan's not that depressed. No, he's not that depressed, but he sounds that depressed.
Oh, come on. Don't pick on the guy.
By the way, just to be extra nice, congratulations, Ellen, on finally passing your insurance test.
Exam? Damn, yeah. About
time.
God damn, it's a good thing it's not the bar exam, Ellen. Yeah, just kidding, Ellen. Hey, congratulations on passing your insurance bar, or whatever
they call it. I'm not saying he's depressed. I'm saying he sounds depressing. You just want to give the guy a hug when he starts talking.
Okay, I don't ever want to give Ellen a hug. I mean, yeah, I like the guy. I'm not going to hug him.
Today?
I don't know.
We hugged you enough this week, Bug.
Well, we hugged earlier today.
I think maybe he wound up with a free weekend about TV, Mace.
No.
I have no idea.
A little bit of queer eye for Spug guy.
No. Spug's been having back spasms, so I took a Scalaxin and everything is okay.
Okay, so I was right, Mace. It's a little bit of the queer eye for the Spug guy.
Now I know where Omega is. Spug gave him a really big hug and we haven't seen Omega since.
He ate him, didn't
Omega?
Besides, you guys forget that I spent the better part of my early 20s traveling from city to city to raves, high off my ass on E as a candy kid.
Well, you shouldn't have done that, you drug addict.
I am not a drug addict.
Ladies and gentlemen, next week, mandatory drug testing right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And
get
I'll pass.
Pee in a cup. Get ready to pee in a cup.
I'll pass.
There you go. Well, I think it's time to get our answers.
That's hotty. That's why we need the drug testing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So real quick, before we get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
As you all know, Tuesday's taking the kid to SmackDown. We're going to SmackDown.
Yeah. Oh, so, that reminds me, before you go any further, why don't you take a little notebook and a pen with you while you're at SmackDown? Just make notes and then send them in to us.
Well, I'll be calling into OWW Radio after it's over.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking
it should be over.
Yeah, but I was thinking, if you took the notes and sent it into us, we could make sure that they don't get posted as spoilers.
Well,
I hate spoilers!
Well, I'm kind of guessing that the show should be over right around the time that the Lawler interview's in.
Okay,
and so I might miss, like, the first 10 minutes, but I plan on calling in on the drive home to be on the Lawler interview. But the whole thing that I was asking, and speaking of which, the Lawler interview, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, is OWW Radio. Jerry Lawler will be calling in live at 10 p.m.
Yeah,
myself,
it's
the host, Alan Wojcik, Mace, and whoever is the other weekly contributor we have calling in this week.
There
hopefully
you go.
Kevin Scott.
Yeah, everybody, that's another thing. It's live. It's not a pre-tape. It is an actual live interview. So
and if you have questions and comments, please send them to radio@allonworldwrestling.com. We will take your questions if you cannot join the live.
Yeah,
and
so the fuck up live.
But no, I wanted to ask, because this is the first live wrestling event that my kid is going to. So I want some advice, some things that we should do while we're there.
Do you want some advice?
Buy overpriced t-shirt and popcorn.
Well, of course, dude, we're buying the soft pretzel. What the hell are you talking about? It's the best thing about going to one of those.
Where are you sitting?
I'm buying our tickets tomorrow. I'm going to guess that probably, because the cheap tickets are like $15, but the good the middle of the road tickets are like 30 or 35, and I think we're buying those. So probably like right in the middle of the arena.
Okay, you've got a camera on your phone, right?
I do. So does my wife, and I think that we're going to load up the digital camera too.
Okay, yeah, take pictures like crazy, get some video going, and tell you what, we'll throw that up into the gallery.
Yeah, I'm kind of, see, this is so horrible of me, and I really want to be there for the Lawler interview, but
yeah.
the last time we went to a WWE show, we went to a Raw, and we hung out in our seats afterward, and quite a few of the guys came out of the back and signed autographs and stuff on the arena floor.
Yep.
And so I kind of want to hang around to see if anybody comes out. But then again, like...
It's Jerry Lawler.
It's Jerry Lawler, you know?
Yeah.
Stick around at least 15 minutes afterwards. Buy yourself a program just in case, so that way they have something to sign that you can give to your kids for
ever in a day.
Yeah, and load the kit up with not just t-shirts, but a few other, you know, a few other things, because it's going to be a memorable
candy. Lots and lots of candy, sugary treats. So she goes hyper.
We're getting her her t-shirt, and she really wants a John Cena t-shirt, so we're going to buy her one. But I think we might. I want to try and buy something that's, like, you know, special to the event itself. So,
I was going to say she may not be asking for it, but get her a Mysterio mask, too.
I'm not paying that much for a Mysterio mask, dude.
Okay.
The last show I was at that they had the Mysterio masks, they wanted, like, $80 for one. I'm not paying that much for a Mysterio.
Okay, yeah. No, that's too much money. And you know that Mysterio's getting 10% of that so he's making $8 on every mask that gets sold.
I'm not paying that much for Mysterio mask. I'm really not.
Okay, well, you know, I'm thinking they were like $25 or $30.
They're fucking expensive.
No, I'm not spending that much. Forget it. I'll get a t-shirt for Owen, but I'm not going to buy him the mask if it's that much money. Fuck you.
You know, I'm really looking forward to it, because we went to Monster Trucks a couple of weeks ago and she had a great time, and you know, it was really memorable for her, and it's just kind of, I look forward more to seeing the smile on her face than enjoying the event myself.
Yeah.
If that, you know. See, yeah. I'm not all bad.
Dude, you're talking to a dad. You're
you get it.
That's the one thing you and I can absolutely relate to.
Mace can to a point with his little brother.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's a similarity, but it's not exactly the same. And it's, I'm not trying to be the president of an exclusive club or anything like that, but...
No, it's not that at all. It's,
yeah.
It's different from it being a sibling or a relative to when it's your own flesh and blood.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like a sibling or a relative isn't your own flesh and blood.
It's different, dude. I mean, they're flesh and blood, but
it's not the product of your semen.
It is not in the fruit of your loins.
There you go. That's a nicer way to put it. Believe it or not, I can't believe that you did it, Spud, where Rock was kind of crude. I mean, that's just bizarro.
I used the Shane McMahon, the DX line when they mocked Shane McMahon. And,
yeah, but you're not DX, Rock and Sock.
But I watched that thing a few days ago.
Hey,
in my head.
Go to Royal and produce the show.
Be funny right. For once, Tim.
There you go.
Know your role.
Get the hell out. Go. Everybody, 9 o'clock Eastern, OWW Radio. In case you haven't figured it out by now, Jerry the King Lawler live. Tune the hell in. Wednesday night, OTL, Otaku Talk Live. Where is Omega? Will we put him on a milk carton? Find out Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Once again, anything goes on hiatus. Stay tuned to find out when she's coming back. TD Top 20 Music Countdown on hiatus. We're trying to get Trey back to do the countdown, and he's just got a few things that he's got to work out. Like,
that's if his jailer will let him back on this network again.
I don't think it's a problem with that. It's let's not go any
further
than that.
Yeah, there is a problem with that, but moving on. TV Radio, yeah. Saturday night, midnight-ish. Tune in. You never know what we're going to do.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, podcast, Life is Callous returns very soon. Andy Dick finally makes his goddamn appearance. And of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Rust Talk Radio, WKR Sunday night, right here on Let's Talk Radio. Don't forget, everybody, this next week, if you listen to any other live or recorded webcast or podcast on the internet, and it sounds like deja vu, it's not. They stole it from us. Catch you next week.
That's tough stuff you did.